So both of these passages are probably very familiar to you. So Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, a famous passage that we all probably know. And again, I'm somewhat looking out at everyone here, and this is a preaching to the choir, so to say. And what the Holy Spirit was showing me last night is with VBS coming up, and something that I seen teaching in the class where in the back I was going through a passages where the Lord had said to the apostles, suffer not the little children to come unto me. And that really convicted me. And seeing even in Luke, something that was brought out was Luke seeing the children and also seeing infants, which was kind of a twist to my mind that the Lord cared about not just grown children, but infants also, meaning that the parents of those infants don't block them from coming too. So the encouragement that I want to bring forth tonight is with VBS coming, this is the heart of our church right here. Those who make it here every Wednesday night, it's a blessing. It may seem like a small group, but this is where the church is going to grow from. I pray in all my prayers, and I know Pastor's vision, is that Wednesday nights don't get smaller, but eventually we start to grow. And tonight's message is based on the Ethiopian eunuch story, but I'm going to look at it a different way about Philip the evangelist. And with VBS coming up, that's an opportunity that all of us in this room are going to have. During the VBS time, we're going to be able to reach out to those children that the Lord wants in Him and drawn unto Him. And with that, we are the heart of the church. And I know there's a unity here. And the love that we all have for one another in prayer, lifting each other, seeing answered prayer, it's been a blessing. So Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Famous verse, most of us probably know it, but trusting in the Lord is what it's going to take for Him to succeed next week. We're all praying that we see something, but if we don't have trust in the Lord that He's going to do the work, because it's not really us, it's the Lord who's looking down. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God is looking down and using us in a way that we can reach out to those children. Now I want to turn over to 1 Peter 5. I ask you all to get there ahead of me for time's sake. But 1 Peter chapter number 5. And verse number 6. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And then, that is not the verse I wanted, but that's a good verse too. 1 Peter 5. And okay, I was almost there. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So you can see in one verse it's telling us to put all our trust in the Lord. And then on the other hand, in Peter it's saying, be careful of how you live your life, how you do things. Be sober, be vigilant. Be looking for change to come in the church. Because if we don't look to God and we start looking out to the world and what they have to offer, then you're going to have either a good day or a bad day. And leads me to say, how will your day be? Are you going to be on the side of the Lord, doing everything that you possibly can for Him? And one of the things that in the world, when you go over here on this side, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. When you start getting away from God and you start neglecting the children, neglecting the church, then what's going to happen is the devil is going to be all over you because you're not in your Bible, you're not praying, you're not prepared, and you're not ready for your day. And he's going to come at you, and he's just sitting in the background waiting to attack you when you're weak. So as a church, as a body, the stronger we say, the more likely it is that we will build a hedge around this place to keep it to where Satan won't have his will and way. So the world tried to create in us, in more times than any, just the fear of the world. COVID came, and all of those things that came with it, and it was just fear and negative and this sickness and that sickness and just going on and on. The news today, there's nothing positive out there. It's just all negative. And with that said, I'm going to have you turn to Proverbs chapter 9. So how is your day going to be? Are you ready to serve the Lord? Or are you ready to just fall to the wayside and give up? And I hope there's no one here that's in that area. So Proverbs chapter 9. And I'm going to try to help you through some things to see. And verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the of holy understanding. So the next few verses we're going to look at is you can listen to the world, you can put yourself down, you can get to the point where Satan is going to be all over you, or you can trust the promises of God and have a reverent fear, a different fear, not the fear of the world, but the fear of God. And when I really started looking at the fear of God, is not a fear that it's like, oh, you know, I'm afraid. It's a fear that should bring you to humbleness, to holiness, to wanting to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, because you have to look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us all. To suffer and die on the cross, to give himself like that, how humbling is that to disrespect his death, his burial, his resurrection, everything that he went through. So on this side, it's good to fear God, but in a holy fear of reverence. Not the worldly fear that they're trying to put into you, but a godly fear to love the Lord. And when you get away, you should be afraid that you're getting away. That's what the fear of the Lord has given us. Psalm 111:10. Again, we're looking at the fear of the Lord. In verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever. See, it starts off fearing the Lord, but it's positive after that. What the Lord is going to do for us when we are in the fear, in the reverent fear, and not over here in worldly fear. And then let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 12. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Which goes back to the verse that we started with. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So with that said, what do you think the path is that the Lord has for us with VBS coming up. The path is that we should all be prepared, filled with the Holy Spirit, and being able to understand the importance of the lives of them in the back being changed. And that's really the goal of the church, is we have to look at that's the next generation. And they have to be raised up to be able to serve the Lord. And it's got to start with us in our hearts and having a heart for them. I know we've talked about bus ministry, and Mary had done bus ministry for years, reaching out to those kind of kids. A lot of churches don't even do bus ministries because of what they bring in. But all of the years that she did her ministry, the Lord blessed with all the kids being raised in the bus ministry. The things that we've seen, life changes. We even see it now out in the streets. Some of the kids that we dealt with, we run into them, and the Lord is still in their heart. Some are serving, and it's a blessing that your efforts don't go wasteful, I guess I will say. Everything that we put in, everything that she invested in those kids over time, to see just one life changed, one to be serving, that's a blessing. It's not a waste of time, because when you look at the overview picture, what God Himself is doing, looking down at us, He's wanting us to be out there and to be the witness. So now, going to my story of where I was going before. So the Ethiopian eunuch story, you probably all know it. He was traveling from Jerusalem back to his hometown. Some of the stuff that I looked at, which was very interesting, is that in that journey, for the people who left Ethiopia to go and worship in Jerusalem, statistically, the travel was anywhere from 1,100 miles to 1,500 miles. And traveling in the stuff that the Bible says the Ethiopian eunuch was in, obviously chariots, and there was horses and other things. And even making a journey at that time, under those circumstances, the average trip one way was 75 days. And then the time they spent at Jerusalem, added into that, and then the travel home, these people were leaving Ethiopia for almost 5 months. And that's if they were traveling by horse and buggy. So just keep that in mind as we're looking at this story. And then with that, the Ethiopian eunuch tonight is not who I want to focus on. But what I do want to focus on, and I'm hoping to get this done in 10 minutes. I know my time is short. I had a lot more. But going back to our opening, you're either going to trust the Lord, right? Not our own understandings, because the way He does things, it's just no words can explain how the Lord does things at times. But over here, you have the devil who's going to tell you, oh, everything's great. This is good. Just do this. Follow the world. Be over here. Don't fear God. He ain't going to help you. And we've seen that through many stories in the Bible where the devil tries to deceive you, to bring you to where you don't trust the Lord. You get off and you get into things. So in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, I'm not going to focus on him tonight, but I'm going to look at, as the Bible describes this man, as Philip the evangelist. And that's what I'm trying to get across tonight. Set all everything I said so far in introduction to get you to think that we're the group who are faithful, we're here, and if we get the heart of evangelist like Philip did, you might change one life, but when you look at what Philip had done, he changed a lot throughout the world through the Ethiopian eunuch. So Philip the evangelist is a prominent figure in the book of Acts, in the King James Bible, known to serve several significant works in his life. So the first thing I want to look at in the life of Philip was he was chosen of seven men, overseers, distributing food to the needy in the early Christian community of Jerusalem, allowing the apostles to focus on prayer and ministry around the world. And that can be found in Acts chapter 6. When you look at that, it's like God had the apostles there. They were wanting to do their work. But at the same time, I guess you would call these guys, and Pastor might help me on this, but I guess they were considered the first deacons, in a sense, so to say. I mean, they were filling that role. They were taking care of the elderly so that the apostles were able to go out and do their work. And why these men were chosen is because they were men that were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they wanted to serve. And as Philip, in this case, being one of the seven chosen, why he was chosen is because, again, the group was noticed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's going to take for us to really be effective in evangelism, is have the Spirit of God in us, not our spirit, because our spirit's flesh, we know that. But when the Holy Spirit takes control of our lives, he's going to bring you to places where you never thought you would go. He's going to do things in your life that you never thought you could do. And if you just trust the Spirit of God in you, then we can change the world. We can make this church grow. And it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit in us. Just like he looked at Philip and said, hey, I'm going to give you a job. You're going to take care of the elderly. And he humbled himself and did it. The next thing I found that about Philip is he was preaching and doing miracles. After the persecution that arose following Stephen's martyrdom, Philip went to Samaria. There he powerfully preached Christ, performing great signs and miracles, such as casting out unclean spirits, healing the paralyzed and the lame, and many people believed and were baptized, including Simon the sorcerer. So when I read that, I'm like, obviously we know what sorcery is, we know what kind of people they are. In the world we're living in today, there's a lot of cults that are out there that are negative. And you know what? If Philip, being filled with the Holy Spirit, could change the life of someone like that, doesn't that give you encouragement that, you know what? If we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we go out there, no matter who we come across, whether it be some of these people that are on the side of the road homeless, and we kind of fear them because we don't know the circumstances they're living in, but just other people, when you're walking around, you might come across someone in your yard, motorcycle guys, all leathered up, things like that, and the fear goes in. Worldly fear, not godly fear. And if we just take that godly fear and give it to us as strength, then we'll care for everybody who's out there. And that's where you're going to see later in the story that the Ethiopian eunuch and his background, they were kind of like an outcast when they even came to worship in Jerusalem. They weren't really part of the full ceremony, but you know what? God still loved them and took the time to send Philip out into the desert to track him down, to give him the gospel, and to see his salvation. And continuing on, after the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and he was found in Azotus. From there, he continued preaching the gospel in all the cities as he traveled until he reached Caesarea. So a lot of these stories are all coming from the book of Acts. And then the last one that I have of Philip's life, many years later, Philip is mentioned in Acts 21, verses 8 and 9, as living in Caesarea. He is referred to as Philip the Evangelist, and that's where I got the the historian named from, and hosted Paul. So see how, I'll finish the whole thing and then I'll go back to what I was just going to say. And his companions on their way to Jerusalem. And after this, he had four daughters who were, prophesying. So that just gave me so much encouragement because you know what? Philip lived a life that he was always looking to the Lord to be used of the Lord. And in this time, in his early start, he started off where? As just a servant, right? Taking care of people. And then the Lord kind of worked in his heart, took him through some other things, filled him with the Holy Spirit, sent him out. And what was he doing next? What we've seen is he was out there casting out demons, raising from the dead, but he was healing people and pretty much with the Holy Spirit working through him was able to accomplish wonderful things. And then getting to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, obviously he was in tune with the Spirit because the Spirit reached down to him and said, hey, I need you to go to this guy on a wagon. And the Spirit lifted him up and moved him. So that's where I challenge us. If we're looking in the Spirit, it would be awesome for the Spirit to just say, hey, I'm going to send you down to Titusville in the park today, and there's going to be someone sitting on a bench, and they're going to be reading Scripture, and you're going to interpret the Scripture, because they're not going to understand unless someone filled with the Holy Spirit guides them through the Scripture, just like Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch, transformed his life, sent him on his way, and then you have to look at what did he do later in life? Not Philip, the eunuch. After he was saved, went back home, and you can see through Scripture that Ethiopia was changed, I truly believe, because of a faithful man who was willing to go to where God told him to go to preach the gospel to another man. And it leads me to what we were ending with. Philip, later in life, how would you think it would be to just be around Paul and have him come to your house? And the more encouraging part of that was when he was here, I'd never seen this before, but Philip having daughters was a family man, loving the Lord, raising his children in the ways of the Lord. And that's where the encouragement came to me. We did our best to raise our kids. We did everything we could to keep them in here. And I still trusted the words that say that, you know what, raise a child up in the ways of the Lord and are never going to depart. Because when that's in them, if they get over here in the world, I know the Holy Spirit's in them. He's going to eventually convict them and show them that this isn't good. I personally went through that. And the Lord bringing me back to this church through my mom, encouraged me to come. And it's been a blessing. The year, almost year and a half now, that I've been a part of this ministry, seeing pastor's vision. And again, I just encourage all of you in this story, look differently at Philip, what he did. And I know a lot of times you'll preach like how he went and saved the Ethiopian eunuch and all of those things. But one thing I will say in that story, the travel, as I was giving you the timeline, going through the desert, they verily found water. And that's why they would travel from point to point to point to be able to find water in that long journey. And to think that it was called desert, but there was a body of water that the Lord had the chariot in the right place at the right time to be able, the Ethiopian eunuch, hear the gospel, get saved, get out of the chariot, go down into a body of water that was deep enough for him to be submerged and be baptized and brought out. And then Philip went this way, the Ethiopian eunuch that way, But both of them, according to all the study that I did, were great evangelists, because the Ethiopian eunuch changed Ethiopia, and Philip went on and later in life got to sit with Paul. That to me is like, I mean, I look at some of the mentors in my life who really invested their time in me, and I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit if it wasn't for three men when I first got saved who never gave up, worked through me, gave me discipleship, helped me, encouraged me to go to Bible college, learn this book the best I could, and again, learn how to preach, do the jail ministry for almost 20 years. I miss it. I really do. I know that's where God kind of called me to go, but at this point, the way it is in the world, I committed this after I left that ministry. And if you all know, when we first came back here from California, our heart's desire was to serve here in this church. Things changed. Lord does things that, you know, you look back hindsight and it's like, wow. But I believe with all my heart, I'm in the right place, under the right pastor, encouragement, his vision. It's just all the things that I always wanted to do. The work I do around here, I don't even count it as work. It's just a blessing to be around the house of God, serving the Lord. And with all of that, I encourage you, will you be just like Philip the evangelist? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in the pulpit. Again, Lord, I just ask that you bless all of that went into this message, Lord, filling me with the Holy Spirit, giving me the right words to say, asking you, Lord, to convict each heart that's here tonight, that, Lord, as we have a week coming up where there's going to be multiple kids running around, having fun, but I just ask, Lord, the Holy Spirit, fill the heart of each of these kids, that, Lord, everyone who comes out to VBS, if they're not saved, they'll come and trust you as Lord and Savior, and let us be good testimony, good witnesses, and have a great time. Again, Lord, those who are going to be involved in VBS, just to continue, Lord, to fill us with the Spirit now. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.